You're listening to the Local Bar Podcast with your host, Chad Alexander. Come on in. We have a lot of friends we want you to meet.
Well, hello there. From beautiful downtown Columbia, South Carolina, located right in the heart of Rosewood, this is the Local Bar. I am your host, Chad Alexander. Of all the places you could be, you've decided to spend some time with us today. For that, we are incredibly grateful. How you doing? Local Bar can be found on iTunes, iHeart, and Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcast. You can find us over at localbarmedia.com, that we can learn more about this and our other show. You can email me, Chad, at localbarmedia.com. Follow me at localbarmedia on Twitter, localbarmedia on Facebook. Patreon.com/localbar is how you can support the show. Speaking of supporting the show, Local Bar is brought to you by Bombas. Now, let me tell you a little bit of something about this. If you've been listening to the show over the past month, you've heard me talk about Bombas. Bombas is a sock company. If you listen to a lot of other podcasts, they sponsor them. Only the finest podcasts, by the way, are sponsored by Bombas. I thought it was a little strange when they reached out to us. They wanted to sponsor the show because I didn't know much about them. Finding out about them through their fine folks that work there, I could not be more proud to have them as a part of a show. I am a big fan of Bombas. I love the feel of these socks. I have them on right now. They are my favorite socks I've ever had. They do this thing, and they have these tension rods that they test these socks on, and they're not quitters. You may have heard me say this before. Quitters are those socks that you put them on, and like 5 minutes later, they seem like they're trying to hide into your shoe, like they're trying to escape your ankle, like your ankle did something really, really mean, and they're trying to get away from it, and you have to dig into your shoe to pull them out. I have put these socks to the test. I have run miles in these socks. They are seamless. And they are the most comfortable socks I've ever had. Plus, they look really cool, too. I cannot stress how comfortable they are. The other thing about Bombas, though, which is amazing, is the charitable side of them. In homeless shelters around the country, the number one thing that's requested are socks. Because, you see, you can't donate used socks to a homeless shelter. So what Bombas does is for every pair that is sold, they donate a pair to a homeless shelter. To date, that's over 9 million pairs sold and 9 million pairs given away to homeless shelters. It is such a super cool company. You need to check them out, bombas.com. That's where you can go to find all of their products. If you go today, you can get 20% off your first order just because we're so fantastic here at the Local Bar. I do seriously love these socks. I said before, a long time ago, I would never endorse anything that I didn't believe in. They sent me these socks. Oh my God, I believe in these socks. But I certainly believe in their message, and we appreciate them being a part of the Local Bar family and supporting us, and we definitely want to support them for the great work that they do. So go check them out. You won't be sorry. BOMBAS.com. Got a lot of stuff going on. If you're a fan of Don Merkel and the Blacksmiths, time of recording on September 7th. We will be down in Charleston on September 8th. But we will be back for you Columbia folks at our home away from home, Foxfield. For Foxfield's three-year anniversary, there'll be a bunch of free stuff at that show. It's going to be a rowdy time. Us and another band are going to bring down the house. And for those of you that are fans of the Jam Room Festival, September 29th, we will be playing there as well. A few more dates around these great states united, well, especially in South Carolina and North Carolina over the next few months. You can check it out, DonMerkleandTheBlacksmiths.com or their Facebook page, Don Merkel and the Blacksmiths. Is that all the business? That's all the business. That's all the business. Crazy week. Sooner or later, I need to inform all you folks about what I'm doing now. I can't find the right way to bring it up, and I need to talk about it. I need to do a show about it, but this isn't the week, because I'm going to tell you, old Chad, you know, sometimes I come on the show, and I've been salty for a bit. I've been a little bit more than salty for the past few weeks. I've been angry about just a bunch of things. I'm just dealing with a lot of stuff. Just got a lot of stuff going on. And I don't think that I've really been dealing with things in the right way. And I couldn't be more happy for the person or more happy to have the person we have on this week. The interview that I did with this wonderful young woman reminded me of something that I thought it was very important. And after our interview, I sat and reflected for a little bit. And I thought, yeah, this really is the kind of message we need right now. More than anything, it's the message I need. I can tell you that. It's hard to get up and be in a good mood. You know, you wake up, because that just sucks anyway, just having to wake up and do the life thing, do the adult thing. Kids are going off to school, which, yeah, I know all the memes. Oh, my kids are back at school. But that is a chore. You get them off to school. Luckily, our girls are pretty good about it. But still, I understand for you parents. Then you got your job, and you got stress, and everything's going on. And then if you turn on the TV or turn on your Facebook or your Twitter, there is no escaping the divisiveness that exists in our country today. I mean, it's just nuts. And it sure as hell doesn't put you in a better mood. So when you're dealing with a lot of crap and you're looking for the escape and you can't find it, you know, thank God football's here. But even with football now, I got to deal with politics in my football. And I just want to watch the game. It's hard to find that breath that you need. But you see, it's important to take that breath, because if you don't, sometimes you do stupid things. Let me tell you a little Chad story. I don't think I've told this story on the air before. It's not one that I tell a lot. But it's one that I was reminded of earlier today, just something that happened. And it reminded me of a time when I was the most hot shot that I've ever been, when I was in college. Oh, yes. I thought I was, to use a quote from that day, the shiznit. The 90s in Charleston were a beautiful, wonderful, mysterious time. Dancing with that lady Charleston every single night. Everything was magical. If you've never been to Charleston, South Carolina, you don't get what I'm saying. If you've never been in college in Charleston, South Carolina, you still don't understand it. But it is a magical place to go to school. One night, I had been out late and having a lot of fun, having a blast. Just an incredible night. And I was a few blocks from my home when I woke up. And I decided to wake up, start taking the walk back. And I kind of cut through a part of town that I don't normally do. One of the coolest things about Charleston is it's very old, very historic, and you can walk down certain streets and see things that you've never seen before. Really cool gardens, different building. If you're really big into architecture or history, it's a wonderful place. Art, it's great, great, great place to go. So I took like most people do down there. I had time, nothing else going on this Sunday. So I took a little detour and came across a church. Now, a lot of the churches in Charleston are shaped they're varied. You'll see some of them that don't even really have signs out front. And this was because of a big storm that had come through. This sign had been knocked down, except for the one against the wall of the church. Because I walked by and I was like, what church is this? As the son of a minister, I'm just curious every now and then. Hey, what type of church is that? I'm usually looking at the architecture, relating it to what it is, blah, blah, blah. Just a nerd thing that preacher's kids do. And I saw this church, and I noticed the sign, and it threw me off. Now, in the 90s, being a young guy, anti-establishment dude, loving Pearl Jam, I really thought we were in a divided world then. Oh, boy. Little did this guy know, right? So I was surprised when I saw the name of this church. And I stopped in my tracks. Now, I've seen all kinds of churches. I've seen Holy Pentecostal first of its kind church. I've seen the first self-righteous church in a sleepy little town called Pascagoula. I've seen the Church of the Sacred Bleeding Heart of Jesus located somewhere in Los Angeles, California. And I've seen crazy names of churches. But this one threw me off because I looked up at the sign of the church, and it was the Church of Ice. Now, think about what that connotates. As a guy that believes in sharing positive messages, this is something that shocked me a good bit. Church of Ice. A cold church? It didn't look very filled. There weren't a lot of cars in the parking lot. Better than you, church? Church of being socially more equivalent to God than anybody else around you? Like, what does the Church of Ice actually stand for? What makes them think they're better than us? I want to tell you about that story and why I think it's something that we need to hear in today's day and age. But first, I want to bring this wonderful young lady on. It's a great interview with a wonderful person that you need to go see sometime. I cannot stress this enough. And I will continue to stress this because I think she is fantastic. Here is my interview with Jen Snyder, and I will talk to you more about the Church of Ice on the other side of this.
From the start, their anarchistic heart, they had the elegance of a loaded gun. Beneath the dark and distorted layers lay the answer to rock and roll's prayers, and in their wake influenced everyone. Let's give it up for the underground, turn up and they wouldn't turn down, walk around like they own the place, put a smile on a Warhol's face. The Black Angel never let them down. Sister Rachel would have been proud, but she was busy waiting for her man.
Well, for over the years, the people that are close to me know that I used to be absolutely obsessed with stand-up comedians. I used to sit with a notebook, and I would write down not just different lines, but I would take notes on comedic timing, expression, the way they would change inflection in their voices. It was something, as a kid, I absolutely loved. I came up with all the greats, watching all the great ones, especially in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s, and loved it. I've been looking for great stand-up comedians. I do find some, but I think they're becoming more of a rarity. But I'm going to tell you that I have on the phone with me today someone who I first saw back in January, and the first time I saw her, I could not believe the talent she had as a stand-up comedian, and she happens to be bored enough and not have crap to do, so she's on my show today. Jen Snyder. Jen, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you?
I'm doing the best I can. So you are now. You're not originally from Columbia, right?
I am actually. If you want to be technical, I'm from Congaree, South Carolina.
Holy crap!
South Congaree.
So you're from like a forest? Okay,
gotcha. I'm from the country, honey.
That's it's pronounced different down there. So you,
exactly.
you've grown up here in the state your entire life, then, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you're currently on the road. You're over in Atlanta for a gig, and we'll pimp that out here in a little bit. But over the past year, you've done quite a bit of traveling. I've seen Chicago. I want to say I saw Seattle maybe once or twice. You've done quite a few tours this year. Talk a little bit about all the different places you've been and kind of what's going on with that.
Yeah, so let's see. I've been to, I wasn't in Seattle. I was in Portland. Seattle was last year, but I was in Portland. I was in Chicago. I was in Idaho for a little while. Then I came home. I've been, in the last 2 weeks, I've been to Huntsville, Kentucky, Knoxville, Chattanooga, and Ohio, Columbus and Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right, so I got to ask. All those places sound pretty cool, but what in the hell is in Idaho?
man, nothing but Boise and Twin Falls, honestly. Farmland, and then there's Boise and Twin Falls. But Boise, Idaho, believe it or not, is amazing. They have a great club there called Liquid Comedy Club.
Yeah.
It's run by this great lady named Sophie Hughes, who is the funniest human on the planet. She actually kicked somebody out of the bar while I was there. And I don't know what she said to him, but at the end, I just heard him go, "Okay, can I give you a hug?" And then he hugged her and stumbled out of the bar.
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing stand-up?
Probably now officially around 10 years.
Okay. So you've been what how long were you doing it around here before you started going on tours?
Man, for a long time. So for years I didn't even get paid for anything. I did open mics everywhere I could. We did open mics out of town. I'd go to, you know, Charlotte or Greenville or Charleston, just to get some stage time. And then, luckily, John Gibson started running shows and started paying us. And once he started paying us, I figured out, you know, I couldn't give it away for free anymore. Started to put a price on what I would do it for. And I've been professional for the last 2 years now.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Well, I just to let folks know that I've talked about it on the show before. I've always said that I wanted to do stand-up. My wife and I were in... we were at the New Brooklyn Tavern where I've done an open mic with you before, and we were there on Christmas Day, and because we have a blended family, so both of our kids are usually celebrate Christmas like a few days before, and Christmas Day is just mine and my wife's, which sounds really sad. When we were single, it was sad. Together, it is like best Christmas. It's like drunk Christmas. It's fantastic. So we found ourselves at New Brooklyn, and she's like, "Yeah, you know, you love stand-up. Why don't we go see some?" And that was the first time I ever saw you. And then I remember thinking, I really want to get up and try this. Not because, I mean, I watched you up there, and the way you commanded the stage is one of the things that I brag about when I tell people, you know, why I think you're so great up there. But I love the way you did it. But the other thing I noticed was, like, no offense to the rest of them, but a lot of them were really, really, really kind of bad that night. So it was great because it kind of built up my nerve. So I got on stage the next Monday night. I emailed him or whatever. He said, "Sure, come on." I prepared my 5 minutes, realized that 5 minutes goes by a lot faster than you think.
Oh, my God, I know.
And I remember getting up there, and I thought I did well, and you went right after me. And I remember thinking, like, as I was walking off the stage, man, I did it. Like, I've always said I wanted to do this. And you went up there, and it was like, it was such a, like, it really put me in my place. It was like, yeah, you may have done well, bucko, but this lady up here just kind of rules it. How, and what I'm really glad about is any other time I've done it, I've gone right before you. So I don't know if that means I'm good enough to be your warm-up or if I just make you look even better because I'm bad. I'm not quite sure which one it is. But how long, I mean, you do have this very natural confidence about you up there that is very genuine. Did you always have that, or was that something that developed over time?
I would probably say that's something that developed over time. But, I mean, my whole life long, I've always been kind of a weirdo and a bit, you know, I, that's the only place I feel comfortable, which is a weird thing to say. But, you know, I'm a nervous person anywhere else, and I'm kind of uncomfortable in conversations. I'm supposed to be there, you know. I can't explain it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just know when you're supposed to be somewhere and that's where you belong. That's how I feel when I hit stage. I just feel like, you know, that's my spot. Like, this is my cage. I'm the tiger, you know. I'm gonna do my thing.
It's funny, most people probably wouldn't, you know, when they see someone that seems so extroverted, they probably wouldn't, like, believe that they are a nervous person. I do remember the one time I've seen you away from the bar. Oddly enough, it was at a church. My stepdaughter and your, I think, niece or somebody went to...
My godson.
Godson, that's it. And we saw each other, and I remember we saw each other kind of, like, out of context, like, not at the bar. And it was funny. I was like, either she doesn't remember me or... She's not like as forward off the stage as she is on it. And then, you know, I actually don't think you remember me. But then when we kind of got it down, it was kind of funny. So I understand what you mean by that. But you grew up in South Carolina. So when you say you're different, I want to kind of set the stage here for folks. I haven't asked you any of these questions. We just hopped on the phone here. You don't mind me talking about your sexuality, do you?
Nah, man, let's talk about it.
Since you talk about it in your show, I figured it's not that big of a deal. So as a lesbian that lives in South Carolina, which for people outside the state, it's not always been the most friendly to anybody that's homosexual. Still isn't as much as I would rather it be, but we're making strides. We're doing okay. It's not like you had that stage growing up. I mean, it's cool that that's your outlet now, but as you were growing up, what kind of things were your outlet? Like, could you see yourself building towards a performance kind of background as you were, you know, dealing with stuff like that as you're coming up in the state?
Yeah, actually, you know, I'm really blessed. I came up in a cool time to be gay in the South, actually, even in Columbia. Back in the day, we had one of the best drag bars in all of the country. It was called PT's Cabaret. And what I really started out doing is I started out doing drag. And
no, you didn't. I did not know that. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
I was
awesome.
Mr. South Carolina Gay Pride 2008.
No kidding. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where I kind of got my start. And I got lucky enough. My friend Tamara Tedder was the president of Pride at the time. And she not only hired me to host the drag shows, but she hired me to host Pride. Like, I think I did Pride almost 10 years in a row, hosted Pride and did shows, you know, did commentary and emceeing. And that's what really kind of got me where I wanted to be. That gave me the confidence. It gave me that stage time. It gave me all that back and forth with the audience and a real crowd. So really, that's Gay Pride, South Carolina Gay Pride. And we do, you're right. We're trying to get more progressive and, you know, it isn't what it used to be. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the other things that seems to have died down over the past couple of years, but within the past 3 years or so was a big push. There are a lot of people that were saying that female comedians just weren't as funny as male comedians. I've seen people take people and make anecdotal evidence out of it. Like, look at this person compared to this person. But I can find you people that are, you know, not my style. I don't want to say bad comedians, but not my style, no matter what their sex is, no matter what their background is. You, however, whenever I've watched you, I've never thought, wow, she's a really good female comedian. It's just, wow, she is extremely funny. Like, this is a great comedian. Have you found yourself having to deal with that? Or is there something in your presentation that transcends that maybe I just haven't put my finger on?
Well, yeah, no, I people definitely think that about women comics. I mean, my mom thinks that. You know, my mom's always like, you know, I don't think women comics are funny. I'm like, Mom, can't say that. But here's the thing, man. It's a sheer numbers game. Like, you're absolutely right. There are bad everybody comics. You know, male, female, transgender, everybody. The thing is, the numbers with women are so low that, yeah, if you only got four women in your scene and two of them are still green and not very funny, it's very easy to be like, oh, women ain't funny, because you only see probably less than 10 a year.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, I get you.
That's what I think.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. One of the great things about growing up in the state, and I'm not making fun of it, I actually really love living here. I'm glad that I was brought up here. But just like any family, you can point out things that are wrong with it. And we don't have to make it about the state. We can make it about anything. But yeah. You know, one of the great things is comedians really have this opportunity to point out the ridiculous, but even do it in a unique way. Some people do it in a very satirical way, like a Patton Oswalt or something. Some people more in your face, like Bill Burr. You know, you can look at some of the greatest ones and how they talked about where we are as a society. Do you feel a calling to do that? Like, is there something about being a comedian that's a professional comedian that you feel not only you have the opportunity, but there's a little bit of a responsibility? Or is that not something that's up your alley? I ask that because I've heard you do a set before that talks about politics. I've heard you do sets before that have nothing to do with society. You just tell some really funny jokes. So how do you feel about that?
Oh, yeah, I definitely feel like it's my responsibility. Now, when I say that, it's not my responsibility to talk about politics per se, but it's my responsibility to bring joy. As someone who feels called to get on the stage and entertain people with words, like, it's absolutely my responsibility to bring happiness. And I feel really strongly about that, and I feel strongly about that more than ever, because I feel like the world needs laughter right now. Like, comedians need to, we really need to, you know, tighten up our bootstraps and get to work. It's time to make people happy again. It's time to make people laugh. It's time to bring some joy back in the world, man. It needs it. But after the show, she came up to me and she was like, I just want to thank you so much. I've laughed so hard. 3 months ago, my dad passed away. And then directly a month after my dad passed away, my brother passed away.
Oh, my God.
And I haven't been out of the house, and I haven't had a good time, and I just needed to get out of the house and laugh. And another time, a woman came up to me and was like, my mom just passed, and I have a lot of jokes about my mom in my long set. And she was like, it was just so nice to see somebody talk about their mom like that with that much love.
Wow.
Sorry, I get choked up when I talk about it. But that's why I do it, you know, for those people that are out there that just – are struggling to hang on and they're having a bad day and they don't see what's good about life anymore. Those are the people that I want to reach. Those are the people that I want to entertain. So, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cry like a little bitch on your show.
No. I think it's awesome. It's awesome when, you know, when you see that, you know, being a comedian isn't just something that you do after work and once you've had a couple of beers and you get up on stage and just wing it. I mean, it obviously is a calling for you, and I think that's really awesome. And I appreciate you coming on and sharing some of that. That's fantastic. I mean, who knew that this? How did you describe yourself the first time I saw you? Who knew that this tough lesbian Viking would shed tears on my show when she came on? Hey, Jen, how can people find you if they want to know what you got coming up soon? And where can people go? You got a website? You got email? How can people find out more about you?
JenSnyderComedy.com is my website. JesterJen13 is my Twitter and Instagram handle. And Jen Snyder, JenSnyder on Facebook. I'm always Monday nights at New Brooklyn Tavern, Tuesday nights at Art Bar. Both of those start at 9:30. And then we have a new show out at La Royce, and that's actually a comedy competition every Wednesday. Shout out to my friend Brown Sugar who runs that. And so that's where I'm going to be. The next few weeks, I'll be next 2 weekends, I'll be out of town in Charleston for the Creekside Comedy Show. And then for Charleston Pride, their LOL showcase, I'll be out there on the 22nd.
Oh, awesome. All right. Good deal. Now, the one that Brown Sugar does, I didn't recognize the name of that club. Where is that?
The La Royce?
Yeah, where is that?
John Gibson drove us. It's off of 277. Hold on, I'm gonna Google it right now. Sorry, I should have known better.
So you're gonna be Charleston. You're home in Columbia Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. You got a long set coming in Columbia anytime soon?
Not that I know of. I will be hosting for Derek Sheen on. Believe the 20th of September for our Columbia Comedy Con. We have to mention that we've got Kyle Kinane coming that Sunday.
When is that?
The weekend of the 20th through the 22nd of this September.
Okay. All right.
And September 22nd is the night that he's going to be on. It's Kyle Kinane's show. So get tickets now because they're going to sell out like crazy. And they're also shooting the Boogie Monster podcast here on that Saturday, and I'll be on that.
Oh, really? All right, so I may be able to see that, but it sucks because my band, Don Mark on the Blacksmiths, we're playing at Foxfield on the 22nd for their 3-year anniversary, so I'm going to miss this show.
Man.
That sucks.
Well, I'll come over there afterwards and drink with y'all.
Tell Chris to come, too. Why don't you just bring him with you? That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, come on, Kyle.
That's right.
Oh, it's 119 Cary Anderson Road for the La Royce, by the way.
Okay, got it. Well, Jen, we will definitely make sure that people know where to find you. I can't tell you. It's just amazing to be able to sit and talk with you. I've loved every time I've been able to watch you perform. I've always been so freaking thankful that you haven't gone before me. And I hope to God I never find myself in that strange situation. But I do think you're a fantastic person. I love the calling that you feel. In order to carry this message out, I think you do it brilliantly. I appreciate you being on the show, and I look forward to watching your inevitable success because I know it's going to be out there for you. So thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having me on, brother. I had a great time. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
nothing stays the same when you're out of the game for too long. As if you're looking back, trying to find the tracks, they're all windblown. I'm always shedding my skin, even from within, and I don't know where I've been, where I go's the future so. 'Cause when I think about how the way things should have gone, well, I'm still out here on my own.
Man, what a cool person Jen Snyder is. I mean, not only is she absolutely hilarious and a completely fascinating stand-up comedian to go see, but what a cool person. You know, you hear somebody that's so dedicated to their craft and one that's, you know, I guess most of us just don't take it seriously, you know, what they do, but she does. And you can hear that in her voice and her stories, and I think that's awesome. I mean, I think it's cool to hear how it means so much to her, for the people that have gone up and said something to her about how much she's meant to them. And, you know, what's so amazing is for each one of those stories, there's probably 40 other ones where they don't speak up. And that's phenomenal. So like whenever you hear the bad crowds or the people that boo you or the hecklers, although I would not heckle that girl. I'll tell you that, you know, when you do, that's got to be something that kind of carries you on. It's cool to. I'm always amazed at people that actually find their calling. I think so many of us go throughout our lives and we can't do it. There's some days I wonder about it with myself, but to see someone who understands that they're in the middle of theirs, even if it may seem like a storm, they know there's a wave they're going to ride, and that's the feeling I get whenever I'm around her. I really don't know Jen that well, but I do think she's a super cool person, and obviously you can tell from the interview that she definitely is not only good at what she does, but cares about it. And I think that's awesome. But getting back to something, being emotional about something, feeling a calling for something. I'm going to go back to that story about the Church of Ice. So I was sitting there and I was looking at this church and I stopped dead in my tracks. I could have kept walking, right? I could have kept going. I could have said, nah, man, I got to do something about this. I got to go up there. I got to have a talk with someone. See, at this point in my life, I was ready to take on any battle, anything that got in my way. And I had just such a good time with some friends the night before, all diverse backgrounds, different religions, come from different places around the country, around the world. We still had a blast over the weekend. Hung out with some friends that night, stayed over with them till the wee hours with people that were very different, all of us very different. And I was a college kid, which meant I knew everything because I had been chained in high school for so long, and now the leash was off and I had the ability to get alcohol. So it meant I knew everything, even though I was obtaining that alcohol illegally. And, you know, I was just kind of a hot number back then, and I'd get my ire all riled up, and I'd be ready to fight. And I saw that. I saw that sign, and I didn't like it. I saw it. Church of Ice. Who in the hell would think that something could come good from anyone that wants to describe themselves as the Church of Ice? We have so much going on in our world. People are cold enough to each other. We need to be warm. We don't need anything that pushes people away. Look at this parking lot. Hardly a car is in it. And we're okay having a sanctuary with empty seats only because of the fact that we want it that way? No. No, there's no reason for anyone to call themselves the Church of Ice. How about this? Let's say that there is a good message behind it. It's not what I see when I read that sign. Their marketing's bad. It's even riled me up. A college kid doing the walk of shame, basically back to his, it was not the walk of shame, it was a strut. And back to his own apartment. And I don't need to see something like that that makes me feel bad about anything in my life. Why would I have to look at a churches can seem judgmental in the first place. Why am I going to do anything that's going to make me feel even more judged? I know preachers. I know folks that work in churches. I know how to talk to these people. And I know when they're going down the wrong path. I've seen my dad set churches straight. And as a 20-something-year-old college student, I was damned if I was going to walk past this church and not go in and speak my mind. I don't care if church is going on or not. So I did. I sat there and looked at that church, clenched my fist, and I started marching right up to it, right up to the door. I was going to bust in the back door, just like at the end of, what's it called? You know the movie, The Graduate. I was going to do it. I was going to bust out, tell those people in that sanctuary what I thought of them. I'm serious. This is exactly how I felt. As I walked up to the church, somebody came right out the door. It was a guy that was dressed in like really kind of dingy clothing. I looked, it was a guy working inside. He had been painting. Peeked my head in the door, and I saw a few guys in there repairing from the damage from the tropical storm that had come through. And they were putting some stuff back together inside the church, fixing a couple of windows. So church obviously wasn't in. That's why there were no cars in the parking lot. And then I looked closer at that sign and saw that the second F of the church office sign had fallen. I was all riled up. I was ready to fight, man. I was ready to make a stand. Because something else had been battered, beaten, wasn't looking its best, wasn't feeling its best. And I jumped to a conclusion. It'd be real easy for me to get on here, and it's actually quite hard not to get on here every week, a show that I want to be about positive stories, and not get on here and get my ire up a little bit. It's hard. It's hard not to do that. Because the things that I see going on in the world just irritate me. We have debates on social media of whether we're going to be civil to the other or not. I don't think we understand the definition of the word civility if we are even questioning that. Who's earned the right? It's called being civil to each other. Loving people that are different than you is a hard thing to do. It doesn't mean you have to agree with them or think they're right or not want to stop what they're doing. But the violence that we have, the things that are going on, make me sick. As a society, think about it. One of the things, maybe not so much Gandhi over here in the Western Hemisphere, although it seems like a bunch of people when I grew up really looked at his teachings, but I'll go Martin Luther King Jr. And so much we preach Martin Luther King Jr., but we don't understand that the bulk of Dr. King's teachings were about violence and the necessity to stay away from it. But we don't when it serves us. For you Christians out there, it's the reason why people call your crap out whenever you're going back to the New Testament. I mean, from the New Testament to the Old Testament when it serves you. It'd be really easy for me to get on and talk about how it irritates me to see people yelling at each other, to watch politicians act like 14-year-old schoolgirls. When I watch people that should be leaders, not only of this nation, but of their community, doing things that are horrible and despicable. But then I remember the words of some of the greatest comics that I've ever heard. I'll never forget, first time I heard it. All this stuff, the ups and downs, the craziness, the ins and outs, all the things that you hold so dear, all the things that drive you crazy. This is all just a ride. It is just a ride. The teachings of George Carlin, that this, when you look at the society leaders of the United States, it's a club and you're not in it. Life's too short to be lived any other way but the way that you want to. Comedians, the people that want to put a smile on your face and a pain in your stomach, not the kind that makes you sick, but the kind you get from cramping up, from doubling over in laughter so hard. The people that want to bring joy to your life, not just to yours, but to others. I will agree with Jen on everything that she said, but especially this. I don't know a stand-up comic that hasn't dealt with a great amount of pain. Robin Williams is one of my favorite guys. I was always amazed at his ability to actually wing it, his ability to just get up and just like go off the cuff. I mean, he was someone that could be tiresome to some. He could wear you out because of all of his energy, but he's going to wear you out before he wore out. And he had this incredible ability to roll off the cuff, sometimes in a little bit of an annoying fashion, but I loved it. He's one of the saddest guys that I've ever read about. And she's right. Stand-up comedians understand pain, and they don't want you to feel it. The comedians that I've ever met have been some of the nicest people I've ever met, no matter what comedic style they have. And there's something to that. There's something to the fact that comedians do feel the necessity to speak out on social issues. Why? Not because they've studied it in some ivory tower somewhere. Not because they've spent years abroad and they've interviewed folks and leaders. No, it's not because of that. It's because they understand this crap, all the stuff that we're on, it's just a ride. And you only got one turn on it. And as you're going up and down, if you don't have your hands in the air and you're not screaming at the top of your lungs, then you're not getting it. No, not all of it's enjoyable. Some of it will make you want to throw up. Some of it may make other people cry. Some of it may scare the crap out of some people. But this is a ride. You got to enjoy it. No matter how crazy it seems. We're all in the same cart. We're all on the same track. We're all heading the same direction. Maybe the ride's longer for some, but it all ends. It all stops. Working in hospice for years, I've seen people on their last breath. And I've been very, very fortunate to see something that's a little bit rare, and I've seen it a bunch of times. People that are lucid in their final moments. They're not scared, but none of them wish they had worked harder. None of them wish they had won that debate. None of them wished that they had gotten their arch enemy to see their way. None of them wished they had gotten that church to change their mantra. No, they all wish they'd enjoyed it more. It's wonderful to be able to talk to someone like Jen Snyder that gets it. You want to know why she's good? Yeah, it's because of her timing. Yes, it's because of her ability to write wonderful jokes. Yes, it's because she works damn hard at it. But you know the other reason? Because she gets it. She gets it. She gets what this life thing is. Go check her out. Go see her. If you've never seen stand-up comedy, go see it. If you think it's too vulgar for you, if you think it's going to be something that's not your bag, forget it. For a night, go check it out, especially if you're here in Columbia, South Carolina. But if Jen Snyder's coming somewhere near you, go see her. Take a moment. You've heard the serious side of her. You've heard what fuels her. Go see what it's like. And then see if something doesn't light up inside of you that reminds you that this is just a ride. We have to find joy in our own lives. But more importantly, we have to help other people see the joy in theirs. Man, those funny people sure understand the serious parts of life.
Thanks for stopping by the bar. We've picked up your tab, but if you'd like to leave the best bartenders you know a tip, head over to patreon.com/localbar and support the show. Any support is greatly appreciated. If you'd like to drop us a line, send your emails to chad@localbarmedia.com. Thanks for coming in. See you next week.
Yes, we will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Go check out Bombas, bombas.com. The best socks in the history of feet. Go check out Jen Snyder when you can. And until then, take care.
This podcast is part of a Local Bar Media. For this and other shows, visit localbarmedia.com.